fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Can you get? Just ask New York Mayor de Blasio. I hate cops, don't you know? Oh, one of the city's finest circulated petition banning the ultra-left socialist mayor from attending their funerals if they are killed in the line of duty. Oh, my gosh. This story of totally dysfunctional city sounds like something out of a Batman movie. Only they are more believable. Well, believe it or not, it's the last Monday before Christmas. I'm Lair Adams, and this is the American Adversaries Drive Time Show on AM 660, The Answer. Our host is the believer. But he won't sing that monkey song. Christopher Hart! I'm a believer!
That's
believer.
I believe in Santa Claus. And I believe in you folks, and I hope you believe in us. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time, AM 660, The Answer, and we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios, where you can get the best in mercury free dental care. Just give my dear friend Dr. James E. Hardy a call at 407-678-3399. And well, we got a lot to talk about tonight, and but you can be a part of the conversation too. As always, our number here is 407-774-8255. Abe Katzman will be joining us shortly. Nostradamus won't be with us today, so that makes a little bit extra room for you if you want to be a part of the show. We will be talking about de Blasio. Isn't that nice, you know, type thing about old de Blasio. But first of all, I just want to say that congratulations to Tim. Tim of Castleberry is our very first recruit, and we appreciate Tim so very much for being the first recruit to sign up for the American Adversaries Army. That's right, folks. The recruiting office is open. However, here's what happened over the weekend. As we went to open it yesterday morning, we realized there was a glitch, and PayPal wasn't accepting the information. So we worked through that, and now we have it all worked out. Everything is working smoothly. And but here's what we're going to do, because I had said on the air last week that Sunday would be the first day, and it wasn't. But Tim evidently was there, and he was trying over and over again, so I really do appreciate that, because he happened to jump in as soon as it went up. But because we didn't actually tell you folks when it would actually open, I feel like we need to have another winner, because Tim, being the first recruit, is going to get dinner for two, drinks and food at Cafe Positano with us American Adversaries. But I think we should do it again, because let's make the official opening time 7 p.m. tonight. So the first recruit to sign up after 7 p.m., and that'll give you folks who are listening to us on the road right now, if you are so inclined to get to a computer sometime over the next almost 2 hours.
They can do it on their smartphone.
You can do it on your smartphone.
Give them a site.
The first person to sign up at our recruiting office for the American Adversaries Army at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com after 7 p.m. will also get dinner and drinks for two at Cafe Positano.
After 7 p.m.?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
All right.
So that way we have an official time.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That if people want to get up there and, you know.
Keep it fair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I feel a little guilty and bad that we didn't have it going yesterday. I was all excited and I was exhausted last night just over the tension.
Mm-hmm.
But it is now. And it's happening, and it's a beautiful website, if I may say so, and because other people did it. I'm too computer illiterate to do anything like that. But certainly you go there, folks, and it's very easy to follow the instructions.
Now, Chris, I want to add a little disclaimer here, buddy. Folks, if you are a North Korean dictator, you will not be able to get towards the top. You can't jump in there and get your little extras and the things that we're giving away here because you're the head of the North Korean country. So anyway, yeah, everybody, this is going to be fair.
And speaking of the North Koreans, somebody or something has shut down their internet traffic today going in and out of the country. Would you think maybe? The United States might be behind that. I can only hope so. I can only hope so. There you go. So, but maybe Kim Jong-il is not welcome, but everybody else is. So please.
Kim Jong screwed.
Yeah. Go to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com at 7 o'clock or as soon as you can. And enlist in the American Adversaries Army. You'll see that there's several choices you can make there. And the higher the rank you go, the more privileges that you will have, including up to and including some studio time with us. So please, once again, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Congratulations to Tim. And we're also going to do something else a little special for him. But we'll do it again for the first recruit tonight at 7 p.m. or thereafter. So, all right. Thanks, folks. And we'll talk about it a little bit more later on in the show. But first of all, yeah, this de Blasio standing up today and palling around with the cops up there and everything. Oh, isn't that nice? Isn't he something? And Larry hit the nail on the head. He's nothing but a left-wing liberal socialist who actually despises the police force, cannot stand them.
Is no better than Al Sharpton, who led this march where they're calling for kill the cops. Then they kill the cops, and now Al Sharpton's like, no! Yeah. Oh, no! I never said that!
Yeah,
no!
Yeah. Well, it's like we talked about on the show last night. You know, it's one thing to just get out there and prance around and crow like a rooster and act like a big old, you know, the cock of the walk. It's another thing when now you have blood on your hands. And yes, indeed, the likes of Al Sharpton, the likes of those people who are out there chanting those slogans, and the likes of Bill de Blasio, yes, indeed, do have the blood of those two police officers all over them.
He's been demanding it for years, Chris.
Yeah.
Demanding police to get killed for what they do.
Yep.
They got to pay.
Yep. And now he doesn't like it, though. And it reminds me of an episode, I believe, I don't think it was Twilight Zone. I think it was maybe One Step Beyond or one of those other ones.
Outer Limits, maybe.
Maybe Outer Limits, yeah, where this guy killed someone. And in the process, he got blood on his hands. And he kept washing his hands to
get
the blood.
It's called Macbeth.
Well, he kept washing his hands over and over again, and the blood wouldn't go away.
Yeah.
And try as he might, the blood is never going to, those stains of those police officers' blood will never wash off of Bill de Blasio. It will never wash off of Al Not-So-Sharpton. It will never wash off of those fools who march through the streets chanting death to police officers. Yeah. It is all over them, and it will stay on them, and it will stain them for the rest of their eternal lives.
And this is what's evil, Chris. You know as well as I do, and our listeners know too, when after Al Sharpton said his little bit, oh, no, we're all behind police. Oh, this is terrible. You know when he met with his buddies, just like, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Folks, well, yeah, look, now they see it. Yeah, we got back to them. Look, this is the first thing, this is the first edge or whatever. And, they've started dominoes falling.
Well, and the culprit, as we talked about last night, is the media. The media is just as complicit in this as those characters. Why? Because they perpetuate the lies. They glorify the protesters. They give them cause. They give them reason. They give them legitimacy. And it is all false. It is all based on lies. And it is all destined for the same end. And that is hate, death, and destruction.
And when you close your eyes, like, what is this, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who's come out and said basically, oh, no, this fellow that shot the two cops, oh, you know, this that had nothing to do with the protest and all this. When all of his site was showing, you know, his website was showing, this was after he killed his girlfriend.
Well, shot her. She didn't die.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And as the story goes, she told the police evidently that, that he came over there with the intent of killing himself, and she talked him out of that. Boy, I wish she'd have lost that argument. But the one thing that I did see over the weekend, though, that, that kind of, I don't know if cheered my heart is the right way to put it, but it at least gave me a different perspective, and that is when the good mayor of the metropolis there, New York City, went to visit the police officer in the hospital who was in the process of dying. The other police officers who were already there lining the hallway turned their backs on him.
Oh!
And I just wait. I'm just waiting and praying for the day when Barack Obama walks into a military installation and they do the same to him, because he has the same disdain for everything that is great in America. And where is he?
Don't all liberals, Chris?
Where is he? To me, this is of national importance, what happened to these two police officers. Where is Barack Obama? Well, for one, he's on vacation. But that should not stop him from making a live nation speech to the nation saying, look, this is not peaceful protest. This is not the way forward.
He's quasi done that, but not really.
No, I'm talking about a primetime speech where he basically dresses down the likes of the protesters in the street and say, look.
And his buddy Al Sharpton.
And he doesn't have to mention names, but he should say those who are out there saying things like, no justice, no peace, death to police. These are not acceptable slogans in a democratic society where we're all trying to get along. These are hateful, they're spiteful, and they should not be done.
And ye shall reap what ye shall sow.
But it's like Nostradamus said last night, I'm expecting, you know, an invertebrate to somehow grow himself a backbone. I don't, you know, expect that out of this president, but that is exactly what he should be doing. Okay, and we should be taking a break. And then when we come back, we should be getting with Abe Katzman, live from Jerusalem. Please don't go away.
Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much fun to celebrate Hanukkah.
I can't believe we're using that to introduce one of our best friends, Abe Katzman. Abe, Larry Adams here, Christopher Hart, one of our closest friends calling in from Jerusalem. Abe, I have to ask you, sir, please explain to me, what is a Hanukkah? I know it's part of the ancient Jewish religion, and the Hanukkah has to do with the what now? Is it a candle thing?
It rhymes. It's a tough word to rhyme, Hanukkah.
I'm telling you, you'd go through the dictionary, you'd have a tough one on that. Abe, thanks for joining us again tonight. We appreciate you being with us.
On my harmonica.
Oh. Yeah. All right.
Great to hear from you, sir. Listen, let me ask you a quick question, Abe. You know, there's been a lot of recent violence going over there on your country and near your country. Has it really affected the American Jewish Hanukkah industry of coming over, you know, for the holidays or even the American Christmas?
No.
Are there any numbers to show it up or down yet?
I've heard from people that the hotels were not as full as they might have ordinarily have been, but there's nothing discernible in the street. It's crowded. Everybody's happy. Everybody's having a good time and really enjoying the holiday.
Yeah, hotel numbers a little bit down here, too.
Well, Abe, are the incidents of these, I guess, shall we call them, for lack of a better word, these lone wolf attacks over there, are they down as well?
They're down for this week, but the nature of these attacks is that they just spring up whenever. So if you go a week without anything like that, great. But I don't know that we're, you know, I wouldn't say that we're out of the woods.
Are there a number of Palestinians that live in Jerusalem there that celebrate Christmas?
There are. Of the Arabs in Israel, I believe approximately 10% are Christian. So they'll, and if you do the math, they're close to 2 million Arabs who live here, 1.6 million, something like that. So you're talking about a couple of 100,000 people in this country who celebrate Christmas.
And as things are going now in the Middle East, Israel is probably the only safe haven for Christians in that region of the world.
Yeah, Abe, I hate to say this, but my brother, through his church, had planned to go to Israel for a trip. The problem is not enough. They were initially, there was a bunch of interest, and they didn't get enough people to sign up. There was just too much of a worry.
Do you think that's unfounded?
It's understandable, but I think that when it comes down to it, it is unfounded. Yeah, there are so many groups that come here and just have no problems. But I understand. You know, you see the screaming headlines all about violence going on here, and you worry. It's natural. But I think that when it comes down to it, being on the ground here is actually pretty safe. It's safer in Israel with all the terror and everything. It's still safer than Chicago.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say that. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Well, I was going to say it's much safer. I would never go to Mexico. You know, our border country, I would never go there. I'm way frightened to go to Mexico. I'd much rather go to Israel than Mexico.
Absolutely. Abe, now.
Well, come on over.
I'd like to, Abe. I really would.
Yeah. Abe, the election that's going on over there, I saw an interesting article last week. I believe it's in the New York Times, but at any rate, it was talking about how the economy may actually be the big issue in the election. Is there any validity to that?
Generally, what happens is that the quieter things are on the security front, the more people pay attention to the economy. So the fact that we're after a war, and if the terror situation remains calm, then people are going to focus on economic matters more than they are on security matters. But security is never far from people's minds here.
Okay. Assuming the economy does loom larger anyway, does that help or hurt Prime Minister Netanyahu?
That's a tough thing to assess. I think that a lot of people give him credit for what has been a pretty strong economy for the last several years. It's actually been one of the strongest in the Western world. And he, you know, he's been in charge. He deserves credit, just as he would get plenty of blame if things weren't going so well. But the press is very left-wing here, and the left-wing and left-of-center parties that are running are just going to be screaming all day about poverty and how the prime minister has made things worse. The same kind of thing the Democrats do in America. And there will be a lot of cheerleading from the press for the left wing.
Abe, do you have a Fox News or, a conservative, big conservative voice?
There is one newspaper that is particularly that is right wing and that very much supports the prime minister, but most of the papers do not. And there's no we have Fox News, but there's no Israeli Fox News.
I see. Let me ask you, Abe, can you stay with us through the break?
Sure.
Okay. A quick question before that. Evidently, the Syrians are claiming that an Israeli drone was shot down over a Syrian city. Is any validity to that?
Israel has claimed that they don't know anything about it. Whether that's actually the case, who knows? These sorts of claims get made for all kinds of reasons. It could just be to boast. It could be that they found something else, that some kind of drone from some other party. It's very, very hard to tell from those types of reports.
Well, I think it's obvious at this point in time, Abe, that Israel is responsible for North Korea's internet going down. I mean, there's no love lost between the Israelis and this guy, Kim?
If Obama went there for help, that would have been the first smart thing he's done all year long. Any thoughts on that real quick, Abe?
I wouldn't be surprised if the Israelis would be capable of doing that.
Me either.
When it comes to cyber warfare, I imagine that the Israelis are right up at the top.
Well, what do you think about the president calling what the North Koreans did to Sony cyber vandalism?
Yes.
Well, it's better than cyber workplace violence.
I was going to say, it reminded me of the work. Yeah, okay. Man, we are on the same wavelength today, Abe. All right, stay with us. When we come back, folks, we'll have more of Abe Katzman, who is coming to us live from Jerusalem, where it's after midnight there. We so appreciate him. And we so appreciate you.
Of course. And as you know, it's getting close to Christmas. We're in the Hanukkah season, and everyone, we'd like to wish everyone a wonderful holiday season, especially a safe one, from our friend across the world, Abe Katzman.
660 The Answer.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart for SoundbiteRx.com. Once again, folks, with a little sample of the medicine brand new today at SoundbiteRx.com. But don't forget, go to MyLibertyThreads.com. It's not too late to pick up some great T-shirts for Christmas presents. And he has ladies styles as well. On our show last night, we were talking about how the United States has helped to fund a multi-billion dollar effort at the UN to tackle climate change, where they're, by the way, seeking immunity. Well, folks, we did get something for the recent $3 billion that we sent them. The UN is going to be sending us thousands of Muslims. Well, thank you very much for that. You'll find that story, if you can believe it, at soundbiterx.com today. Also, a story describing a threat to Israel greater than ISIS. That's an interesting story, brand new today, too. Also this, the other day on our show, Nostradamus revealed that there is belief that Arctic squirrels are harming the environment by scratching away at the Arctic tundra, which I presume they've been doing for millions of years. Well, now there's another villain out there. That's right, beavers. And how do beavers do it? Well, pretty much the same way as cows do it. 800 million kilograms of methane every year. I guess chewing up wood causes gas. Also, this brand new today at soundbiterx.com, an anti-Islamic movement in Germany. I'll tell you what, that's an interesting story. A lot of other great stuff, brand new today, every day, at soundbiterx.com. Please go there. It's good medicine. We'll be right back.
Florida, I like to snuggle with three sexy humps. Christopher Hart, Mr. Dennis, and Mayor Adams. Ooh, the American adversaries, these guys, stimulate my brain.
All right.
Hey, do you think we can get her to snuggle up with Abe?
Well, I'm sure that
we'll ask his wife.
Jerusalem.
She is invited to Israel.
Oh, okay. We'll tell her.
All right. Yes, we'll pass the word along, Abe. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. That was Abe Katzman live in Jerusalem. I am Christopher Hart and Lair Adams. We're live in the studio here in Orlando. 407-774-8255 is the number. Nick LoCicero's on the bridge, so if you want to give us a call, he knows how to take care of it. And Abe knows how to take care of business over there. We were just doing the Soundbite News Minute, and the tease was that there's an article in there where Israel, there's a greater threat to Israel than ISIS. And basically the gist of the article is that Israel views Hezbollah and their connection to Iran as the greatest threat to Israel's existence. Is that story valid, Abe?
Yeah, I think that's the way that that Israel looks at it also. The Iran is just hell-bent on coming up with one way or another to destroy Israel, whether it's through nuclear weapons or through their proxies, Hezbollah and Hamas. And now Islamic Jihad, and they're even talking about trying to They've been talking recently about trying to arm the Palestinians on the West Bank.
Well, Abe, right now with oil being incredibly low and other countries basically going broke, I mean, they've counted on it to a certain point. It's way below that. Do you think this will stem their financial, their weaponry assistance, et cetera, to these other countries? Will it slow them down at all?
Or make them more desperate?
I certainly hope it would slow things down. I mean, this is the low oil price is the equivalent of an economic sanction on Iran.
Right.
I think that it depends what they're. I don't know what they can afford, but they've gone through some tough times before. Even when the sanctions were biting, they were still providing arms to Hezbollah and Hamas. So I think it's going to take more than a low oil price.
Well, Russia's not going to help them.
That's true.
My fear is that they will become more desperate. And the Saudi Arabians being behind pretty much this dip in the oil prices, in the sense that they have declined to hold them at higher levels. And decided for once to allow the market to decide the price of oil. It would probably, I would think, heighten tensions between those two countries, Abe.
Yeah, there's a theory that Saudi Arabia has been behind the price drop specifically to in order to do some damage to the Iranian economy. The Saudis are terrified of the Iranians also, and they're religious rivals, they're strategic rivals. I think that they feel that this is one weapon they have where they can slow down Iran's march.
Yeah, and sort of kill two birds with one stone by crippling the energy industry here in the United States, which has been putting a big dent in their profit margin. Speaking of Hamas, I ran across an article last week that said that the European Union has taken them off of their terrorism list because of a technicality. Are you familiar with that story, and what kind of bizarrity is that all about?
Yeah, they said that because they were only put on the terror list because of reports in newspapers, I guess there were news reports, and they didn't have actual European sources, European witnesses, I suppose, that therefore they were mistaken in terms of the process of putting Hamas on the terror list. So they're now off the list, at least provisionally. I think the court gave the Europeans 3 months to come up with an appeal and to get them on the list the proper way. I don't know if they're going to do it. Israel's a little ticked off at the European Union for this.
Are there any economic repercussions in the sense that if they're off the list now, say, banks and other organizations can trade and do business with them?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer, but I would imagine so. I would think that's the sort of thing that they'd be able to do.
Right. Well, at least the judge is, I guess, withheld his verdict, so to speak, for 3 months to allow the appellate process to begin. Speaking of terrorist organizations, the Palestinians are at the UN pushing for the statehood thing. Is that progressing forward, or is now the end of the year sort of put that off to the next year?
No, they seem intent on pushing forward with this, even though, you know, again, the ground shifts all the time in terms of how things are likely to work out. But at the moment, it looks like their bid is going to fail, that they're not going to come up with the number of Security Council members they need to endorse their bid for statehood.
Well, who is going to stand up to them?
Well, for one thing, the U.S. has given signals that it will veto this measure if necessary. But there are a number of countries, I'm not sure exactly what the entire lineup is of the 15 countries on the Security Council, but they need 9 in order to get it passed. And right now, I think they've got 7. If they pass it, then the U.S. can veto it.
I see.
But I think the U.S. is hoping to not get to that point.
Okay. Speaking of the Obama administration, of course, you've seen what the president did last week with, quote-unquote, normalizing relations with Cuba. Does that heighten the, say, tension or anxiety in Israel that he's going to do something similar with the Iranians?
I think it heightens tension in Israel just because in Israel they look at this as here is one more dictator that the president has appeased or that the president has caved into without getting anything in return.
Very astute.
And if that's what he does with Putin and that's what he does with Castro, then that's what he's going to do with Iran.
And I believe worse in this case, because I believe what he has managed to do is prop up this what I felt was a teetering socialist government down there. I mean, they're broke. Venezuela's now broke. Russia's broke. Nobody can help them out. So what does Barack Obama do? Goes down there basically and rescues them.
For cigars and coffee.
Well, I suppose.
Well, really, that's all they have when you think about it. There's no advantage to us.
But that's the whole point. What you both men have just said is that we don't get anything out of it.
Mm-mm.
It's these dictators that get everything out of the deal. And those are the worst kind, if you ask me, when it's just totally one-sided like that. So I can understand why Israel would be more anxious just because of that mindset, Abe.
Yeah, I think so. The only on the flip side, it may be that the president is a little bit sensitive to that kind of criticism, and therefore he'll think twice before appeasing the next dictator. It's possible.
Not according to his record.
We can only hope so. But yeah, Abe, the day after this most recent election in November, I said, "Look out! Barack Obama does not feel like a loser. He feels like he's a winner."
And hey, pigs can fly.
And he is going to go to town. And one of the things I think he's going to do, he's going to close Gitmo. He's going to find a way to do that. And I'm afraid he's going to find some way to come up with a quote unquote deal with Iran. And because it's on his list, he's got like a little Christmas list, and he's checking these things off, or whatever Muslims call it. But I fear for Israel and from that standpoint. Abe, I want to ask you about, before we let you go, an article that you had written. I think we talked about it last year. I'm sure you're going to know about it, because there was an article in the Wall Street Journal this past weekend, I think. It was last Tuesday's Wall Street Journal. I've been hanging on to it to talk to you about this. The Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act. Remember your article on that?
Oh, yeah.
This article is saying that foreign banks around the world are closing their U.S. citizens' accounts rather than mess around with the complying with what the act calls for. This is something that you predicted in your article. Has it happened to you yet?
It hasn't happened to me. It won't happen to me here because I'm actually a dual citizen now. I'm a both Israeli and American citizen.
I see.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It'll happen more to people who try to open accounts in Israeli banks that are just American citizens.
I see. Well, this is exactly what one of the things that you predicted in your article. So, congratulations for that foresight.
And it
unfortunately, it means a lot of pain for a lot of people in the process.
Yep.
Yeah. And Abe, we only have a few minutes left, but do you think that Barack is basically putting the GOP, the Republicans, in a position of being for the next 2 years? He's just going to paint them as nothing more than obstructionist, and the GOP is basically going to act like, no, we're not obstructionists, but yeah, we really are.
I don't know how the GOP is going to act. I know that so far they don't seem they're not acting like they just won a huge landslide election.
I know it. It's like the Republicans are acting like they lost, and Barack Obama's acting like he won. It's
uncanny. It really is.
Well, it reminds me of the Bizarro world from the Seinfeld series, you know, where everything's backwards.
Well, it's actually Superman. But
Whichever. But It's a topsy-turvy world we live in. But, Abe, we'll let you go now. Thanks again for being with us tonight. We really appreciate it, and we appreciate you.
My pleasure.
All right.
And Merry Christmas to all you guys.
And thank you so very much.
Happy Hanukkah, sir. I hope Hanukkah was good for everyone and your family. And I've got a, as I mentioned to our listening audience, it is a real honor to have such a good friend across the sea.
Well, my honor. I'm humbled every time you say that kind of thing, but it really is. I really enjoy speaking with you guys.
All right. Well, God bless you, and we're going to pass on your greetings to Sunny, our California glow girl. All right, Abe. Have a great evening, and we'll talk to you next week, sir. All right,
and
was
Chris,
Abe Katzman coming to us live from Jerusalem.
And I guess we'll have to send him some stripes and eagles to put on his jacket for his, since he's such high rank in our organization.
That's right. The American Adversaries Army, the recruiting office, is now officially open.
And he's a high guy up there.
That's right. The first person to recruit to sign up tonight at 7 o'clock or after, and whenever that happens to be, whether it's at 7:01 or 12:01 or next week, you will win, and I hope it isn't next week, but you will win a free dinner for two with drinks at Cafe Positano with the American Adversaries. All right, Tim has already won one, but because we kind of messed up the start date, we're going to start it over at 7 o'clock. So the first person to recruit at 7 o'clock gets Cafe Positano food free. All right, if you are on the road again, you are listening to the American Adversaries. It is drive time on AM 660 The Answer. Lair Adams and Christopher Hart here. If you're not on the road, well, that's fine, too. But we just want to thank you for being with us. We have Sherry on the line. We'll take her call real quickly. So let's go to Sherry. Thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there, young lady.
Well, Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Oh, Sherry, it's great to hear from you, and we hope the whole holiday season is wonderful for you and your family.
Absolutely.
Anyway, with everybody at the station, I got two quick points.
Yeah.
I got a new name for de Blasio.
Yeah.
Hussein Oblasio.
Yeah.
You know, there was a guy that called in a radio show this morning. I'm only repeating what I heard. He said this guy that did this killing up there in New York.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, he's so after cops, but white cops. The first person he goes and he shoots is a black woman.
Yeah.
Then he can't tell the difference between an Asian and a Hispanic, and he, you know, looking for two white guys.
Yeah.
And he kills the fourth person himself, another black man. But,
yeah, that was, I believe, on Gallagher's show this morning. How was that?
It's like, why do people in their communities burn their communities when they riot?
Very true. But in the case of the police officers, I think Dennis said it last night. He said he wasn't looking for white, black, brown, or whatever. He was just looking for police blue.
Yeah.
Badge.
Still in the back of his mind.
Yeah.
I just want to make one quick comment.
Yeah.
You know, when y'all first started the show, one of the first things you said that you would not have best of shows.
That's true.
And you've held true to your word.
Yes.
And so, you know, I've been listening to your show, What's the Score?
Yes.
And you made a comment this weekend that you're going to do two best ofs.
For the What's the Score show, not the American Adversary.
No, I know that.
That wasn't my decision.
Okay.
It was a committee decision. You know me. I'd just soon be there doing it live. But
I know. Everybody's got to have some time off.
Yeah.
I just have.
Well, that's what it was. Paul and Rich had other commitments, and the station's going to be on like a skeleton staff. So it was basically what we had to do.
Well, no, I understand that.
Yeah.
You said you're going to bring on one show with one guy and then another show with another woman.
Yes.
Well, you repeat the shows at least four times on the weekend.
Correct.
And there are people, you know, that listen to your show during the week that might not turn the radio on the weekends and have ever even heard your show.
You mean the What's the Score show?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, you know, I don't promote it enough on the air, so I think I'll start doing just that.
Okay. So I have a suggestion.
Okay.
You can talk it over with all your other guys there.
Okay.
You need to put on the best of the best of, and that was this weekend. You need to put on the next 2 weeks, at least two times, Saturday and Sunday, Walter Briggs.
We run that show again. I knew people would like that show. I've gotten a lot of comments and remarks about it, complimentary in nature. Walter is fascinating.
It was a hoot. I mean,
I, by the time that the show was over, I was almost in tears. Though I don't know if you could tell, but at the end of the show, I was basically speechless.
Emotional.
Yeah, but it was a great show, and he's a great fella. And I'll make the suggestion. We'll see what we can do.
If you do it, then it'd be a way to get the word more out there about the fundraiser.
Yeah, and
Don Shula's.
Yeah, well, we're going to help him out on this show too.
Oh, okay.
After the first of the year, we're going to have Walter sit in on this show, and that's sure to be a hoot.
Oh, yeah.
Because that man was full of you just got a small sample of the stuff he wanted to talk about, that really that wasn't appropriate for that show.
Well,
but
I
told him just hold those thoughts because
keep you quiet.
Okay. Yeah, I tell you, did you notice that?
and see, Sherry, I was totally confused. I thought What's the Score show was a show where single men and women could hook up.
Yeah, right. That's where Lair's mind always
whoa,
is.
Whoa, Score. Hey.
Oh. All right. Well, Sherry, thank you for the suggestion, and more so, thank you for listening to both shows and to Carl's show. We really do appreciate all your support.
Okay, guys.
Thank you much.
You are the best, and again, Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. Okay.
We love our listeners.
Yeah. All right. And Sherry's been with us since day one, literally.
She's put up with us since day one.
She and Eva have been with us since mm-hmm. day one. They were a couple of our very first phone callers. I don't think they were the first. I think that fella what was his name? Bob. It was Hurricane Bob. Bamboo Bob.
Yes,
you remember him?
Yes, yes.
Bamboo
mm-hmm.
Bob. I don't know where he is today, but he was our very first phone caller on that Sunday
night. We used
night,
to see him everywhere.
4.5 years ago.
At local event, political events,
that
and we haven't seen him in years.
That guy was dialed in. All right. So, folks, once again, we really appreciate all of you listeners out there, whether you're brand new, just started listening today, or like Sherry, have been listening for over 4 years to us now.
It takes a while to build an army.
That's right. But we want you to be in our army. And we want to make it a fun experience for you, something that you want to do, something that you want to get your friends and other family members to do. But it's got to start with you. And it's real easy to do. All you got to do is go to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. There'll be two boxes that you'll see right away. One will take you to the homepage. The other will take you to the subscription side where you can enlist in the Army. You'll get a newsletter on a monthly basis. The first one comes out January 10th, which will include extensive bios of all of us guys and gals, including Sonny. More importantly, the newsletters will never go into the homepage. The only way you'll be able to see the newsletters is to be in the Army. These will be classified reports, so to speak. You will have to enlist in the Army to get the newsletters. And then there'll be higher ranks, and with the higher ranks come the higher privileges. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We want you folks to feel more a part of what's going on. We want you to be more a part of what's going on. And in the process, as we build the Army, obviously, we are building resources that we can do more things with. We can keep this show going longer. We can have more time. We can break into other markets.
No shooting games, no aliens. No, it's a serious website for serious people.
Right. I was listening, and I believe it was on Mike Gallagher this morning. It was an excellent show of his. He had a fellow on there from the New York Post. And it had some great callers, the one like Sherry was just talking about. But the fellow from the New York Post said something that we all must remember, and that is that each generation, it is up to each generation to sort of rejuvenate our democracy, keep it alive, keep it going for the next generation and the generations after that. That's what we are. I see it as a privilege to do, to be honest with you, because it's doing God's work. It's doing the greatest work we can do.
Well, and our generation, Chris, a lot of us have failed on that because my father fought in World War II. Everybody that fought in that war knew what you had to do afterwards. And he tried to instill it on me, and I think it worked, but other people, it didn't work out that way.
And we need to fight the war now. We're not talking, as Lair said, about with guns, but we are talking with something more powerful than even guns. We were talking about the truth. We were talking about revealing the truth, revealing
your voice and your vote.
Exactly. Exposing the scripted storylines, exposing the president, whoever he may or she may be, for what they are up to. And by the way, you know, just last night I said on the show, watch for Gitmo. This president has in mind to close Gitmo.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here I am sitting there this morning reading my Wall Street Journal on page A4. Here's the title of the article. As we talked about this last night, it shows up in the Wall Street Journal today. That's why, folks, you want to be a part of our army, because you'll be ahead of everybody else. Let me just read the first two paragraphs, and then we're going to have to get out of here. President Barack Obama aims to make 2015 a landmark year in his long-stalled effort to close the detention center in Guantanamo Bay, with plans to announce a flurry of detainee transfers in coming weeks, senior administration officials said. Mr. Obama is also seeking to reshape the national debate over closing the facility in Cuba by casting it as a fiscal issue. This is what's so important, folks, is to control the debate. That's what we're trying to do. We need your help. AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. 7 o'clock. Sign up, please.
Chris, absolutely. 2015 will be a landmark year. I just hope that's a good